everybody again. The Ford Foundation is very happy to be associated with this event, co-sponsored, organized by Prisma, and co-sponsored with IDRC. About 3 years ago, the Mexico and Central America office of the Ford Foundation was discussing what would be the central topic of the work of the office in the coming years. And in thinking about what was special and unique about, or one of the main things that was special and unique about the region of Mexico and Central America compared to other regions in the world, it became obvious in our discussions that it was the growing integration with the United States of America. An integration of people and movements, an integration of the economies, an integration of cultures and politics. And that migration itself was not the whole part of that integration, but it was a central part of that integration. And so the Ford Foundation chose the topic of migration as the central topic that it would work on in the Mexico and Central America region. Now, from the beginning, it was clear in the way we thought about the topic that working on migration was not just an issue of immigration policy or the human rights of migrants, and that migration and development was not just an issue of remittances or the brain drain of migrants moving out of their countries, but that rather, as I said, that these massive migrations, when you have 1/10 of the people of Mexico living in the United States, or 1/4 to 30% of the people of El Salvador living outside El Salvador, or perhaps 10 or 15% of the people of Nicaragua living in Costa Rica, that these levels of migration affect every aspect of society. They affect the politics and the political dynamics. We were talking with Raquel this morning about the fact that the National Popular Resistance Front of Honduras has a 19th department. Honduras has 18 departments in the country, and the 19th department of the National Resistance Front is the Hondurans living abroad. So it has to have a chapter for their political presence in the national life. We're talking about health, communicable diseases that travel along the same paths as migration, whether it be HIV/AIDS or whether it be other diseases. We're talking about cultures, where cultures mix and become transnational. We're talking about crime and transnational crime. We're talking about new markets or products. And we're talking about fundamental changes in the way natural resources are used. Migration affects natural resources in a number of different very important ways. It changes the availability of labor in rural areas, which in turn changes the availability of the prices and the relative costs of doing different sorts of activities. It changes the availability of capital in rural areas. It changes gender relations very fundamentally, because often either men migrate more than women, or in some cases women migrate more than men. And people of labor age migrate more than old people and children. So it changes family structures, which also changes everything in society. It changes property rights, the rights that migrants have over the property that they've left behind, local institutions and local social capital, knowledge, innovation, information. So when you have these very large changes in movements of population, you're going to get very large changes in many cases in how the production systems operate and how the natural resources are used. And we have the impression that these discussions about the impacts of natural resources really haven't been sufficiently on the agenda as it's being discussed, this whole issue of migration and development. And there's a whole debate about whether migration tends to come to conserve natural resources and manage natural resources more sustainably. Some people say, oh, it's wonderful. All the people will leave the countryside so that the trees will grow back and the natural resources will be back in order because there will be less pressure on the natural resources. Other people say, this is terrible. Migration is breaking down social capital, is breaking down the institutions that always traditionally maintained natural resources. And there's no longer labor in the countryside to do soil conservation, to manage the resources sustainably. So that is a debate, I think, that's going on. Here in El Salvador, we couldn't have picked a better country to be talking about migration and its impact on productive systems, because there's probably no country in the world where the entire economy is centered around migration to the extent that El Salvador is. I already mentioned that something like one quarter of El Salvador's population lives outside the country. Not only are remittances the largest single source of foreign exchange, but there's all other sectors of the economy that we don't tend to think about are directly linked to the migration economy here. The banks operate largely in the financial system that developed to manage the remittances coming into the country. The telephone system has become a major source of foreign exchange, as Salvadorians from the United States call home. And for each time they call home, money, dollars come into the country from each phone call. The construction industry in El Salvador is largely linked to remittances that are sent back home and are then used to construct housing. The tourism industry in El Salvador is largely linked to Salvadorians who live abroad who come back to visit their country. The urban property market and the rural property markets are largely linked to financial flows for migration. Niche markets have opened up for Salvadorian products in the United States. So a whole economy is functioning around migration, and inevitably that has had major impacts on Salvadorian agriculture and its use of natural resources, as you will be talking about the next 2 days. So for us at the Ford Foundation, focused on Mexico and Central America and how migration is affecting natural resources in this region, it's extremely useful to have the opportunity to hear from other regions, from Zimbabwe, from Cambodia, from Syria, and get a sense of how these differences, how these processes work similarly or differently, what can be learned from the different experiences. And I'm sure that these next 2 days will be very useful for that. Thank you.